Amen. We get to experience the difference that Jesus makes. I am so thankful that we're able to continue on in our worship and through this particular sermon series this week as we look at Jesus as our world changer. I got to be honest with you, this week is the one that I had circled on the calendar for what in the world do I say there? Here we're talking about Jesus, who is God the Son, and we are to talk to him as in regard to him being everlasting Father. Well, that's confusing enough, right? How is it that that God the Son can be that representation of everlasting Father? But I do believe that God has a word for us today. I want to just remind you of that verse once again. That is our theme verse throughout this this entire series, which comes out of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, which just simply says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So how is Jesus the fulfillment of this everlasting Father? How is it that we can look at God the Son and realize that he is that representation of an everlasting Father in our lives? How does he fulfill this prophecy from hundreds of years before? Well, that is what we're going to talk through today, and we're actually going to do it with our phones. Actually, I don't want you to use your phones because I don't trust you enough for that. But for those of you that are watching online, you're probably watching on a phone or maybe a tablet or something like that. But it's what I want us to kind of to think about today is this idea that that everything is so temporary in our lives, right? With that, even if, you know, again, for those of you who are probably watching online, you know, maybe even before you started this this live feed, you were probably flipping through Facebook. And in doing that, what you're doing is you start out and you're looking at I don't know, somebody's post, right? Or maybe you're on Instagram or whatever your social media flavor might happen to be. And in about a second and a half, you look at it, and then you use that thumb to swipe up, right? And then you're on to the next thing to see if you can maybe find something out there that would entertain you enough that you might give it 5 seconds of your life instead of a second and a half, right? That is the temporary world in which we find ourselves right now, right? Now, I don't want to stand up here as like the bah humbug of talking to technology and everything and oh, this is, you know, the devil's work and all those kinds of things. I think there are ways that God can work in all of these things as well. However, I think it does speak to us about the culture in which we find ourselves and how it is that we interact with each other and how it is that we may even perceive that people are interacting with us. So, because many times we're the ones who are creating those posts. Right? We're the ones who I'll be honest with you, just yesterday was a glorious and terrible day all the way around. Yesterday was to be the day that Ohio State beat the team up north in football for the 10th year in a row, we were robbed of that opportunity because they are infectious people up there, apparently. And so the game was not able to be played. And so where I should have been just screaming my brains out for 3 hours from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., I was not given that opportunity. However, I would not allow myself to be robbed of the opportunity to gloat, right? Much as I am right now, actually. fan as I am. And so I just put a humble post out there of just my loyalty, if you will, to the Ohio State University and its superiority in every way to the team up north, right? Just the team I'm knowing. I'm not talking about anybody else. Like, all the Texas teams are fine. I got no problem with any of you, right? I got no problem with any of them. I did all of that, right? Hoping that someone would look at it, and instead of swiping after a second and a half, might take 5 seconds to actually read what I wrote, and then maybe even hit the like button. Right? Like, that's what I was shooting for. Like, that was my whole goal in all of that. Well, and to belittle those that might actually cheer for the team up north, of course. But imagine, like, all of my rivalry fun was all condensed into this striving after some sort of wit that might actually cause people to pause for 3 more seconds of their life. And if I could get them to do that, I would feel successful. Do you see how temporary our lives are? Right? And obviously, even with, like, COVID and all that kind of stuff now, I mean, we recognize how temporary we are even able allowed to be around each other, for that matter, right? We're hesitant to linger. We're hesitant to engage in longer conversations and those kinds of things because of all. And so we just find ourselves in this world where it's like everything so it seems so temporary, and yet Jesus is prophesied to be this everlasting Father. Well, how is it that Jesus is living out this prophecy of being everlasting Father in our lives when everything is just so stinking temporary? Before we get into that, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your presence. We acknowledge that you are here. We just give our attention to you and our awareness to the fact that this is a divine moment. And so we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to us. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak through me, that my words would be your words, God, and that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father, that where I fall short, God, that your word would never fall short, Father. May you have your way in this time, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, so we are finding ourselves in this sort of battle, I think, between that which is temporary and that which is eternal. And we find this even with the church, right? Like even for those of us who are believers who might try to post like a Bible verse or something like that, right? We are even through social media and those kinds of things, we're trying to convey eternal truths through a very temporary means, right? And so we're doing what we can. I mean, it's what we got to work with. I mean, it's not a problem necessarily, but this is the tension that we hold is how do we live in eternal realities when our world seems so temporary. I think of it as a sort of the difference between the swipe and the rabbit hole. Right? So the swipe is like, okay, well, not entertaining, not entertaining, not entertaining, not entertaining, huh? Not entertaining, not entertaining. Like, that's the swipe. Like, I just keep going, right? But the rabbit hole is when you see something and then, like, you click the link, like, oh man, which is showing undying love and devotion right there. If you would give enough time to click the link. But then that link leads to another link, right? And then that link leads to another search engine. And so that's the rabbit hole, right? One thing leads to another thing, which goes to another thing. Sometimes it's a video. You watch a video and you're like, oh, I wonder if they have any other funny videos of cats that flush a toilet or whatever. You know, and then that goes to other crazy videos. And so eventually you find yourself going down the rabbit hole, and then you look at the clock and you realize you've been doing this for 2 hours now, right? And so that which was very temporary all of a sudden has become, like, apparently very important to you since you have given 2 hours of your life to it, right? But then there's also sort of this, I guess another way of thinking of it is in terms of that which is viral, right? So if you think of again, whether it's posts or videos or, you know, those kinds of things, sometimes something becomes so popular, particularly in a moment, that it becomes what we say is viral. In other words, millions of hits on these videos, like everybody is at least aware of it, right? One terrible example of a viral post would be that stupid Baby Shark song, right? If you don't know it, please don't search for it, all right? Do not let temptation get the best of you. But even now, you are hating me even for saying that phrase, because half of you are singing the song in your head, and you just can't get it out, right? Right? Because everybody has heard this thing. That thing just went viral, particularly through social media and everything. And so, it all of a sudden has become very, very popular. Popular. Of the devil, maybe, but still very popular. Still very popular. Yet on the other side of things, what I think is most important for us to see, and I think even as we get into scripture here, what we're going to sort of, the tension we're going to hold is that between what is viral and that which is valuable, right? Because I think we'd all agree, like, Baby Shark probably ain't as valuable as some might think it is, right? In fact, some would probably say it is absent of any value whatsoever in the world, right? So you see what I mean here? There's this tension between that which is popular and that which is actually valuable for our lives. Now, all of this as a backdrop here, what I'd like to do is get into 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to start in verses 7 through 9. And as I go, I want to just kind of highlight for you that which is temporary and that which is eternal, that which is a swipe and that which is a rabbit hole, that which is viral and that which is valuable, okay? And so as we go, I just want you to kind of understand here and see some of what Paul is speaking here even to the church in Corinth. So again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. It says, therefore, do not lose heart. Let me stop right there. That is an eternal encouragement from Paul to the church. Okay? That is not something that is temporary. That's not something that applies sometimes, but not other times. Like that is an eternal encouragement that Paul is giving to the church there, right? And so I want you to kind of see this through some of those lenses. Watch this now. Still in verse 16. Though outwardly we are wasting away, temporary, by the way, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. All right? Verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us, light and momentary troubles are temporary, right? Are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, which is temporary, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. See, we kind of look at this in our whole social media world, and we think, and it's easy for us to think of temporary and eternal and recognize, okay, well, this is only going to last for just a moment, but that which is of God is like, those are principles we can build our whole life on here. But this is not just something we are experiencing today. Like, this is a part of human nature. The question is, are we going to live for the moment in which we find ourselves now, or are we going to live in a moment that will last for all of eternity? Are we going to live an existence that is just about us for this second and a half, or are we going to live an existence that is actually based on a life with Jesus Christ? Right? Let me read this one more time. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses, oh, I said that wrong, didn't I? Did I say the wrong verses? I sure did. I said 16 through 18. I'm not supposed to get to that for a little while. Go back to verses 7 through 9. I'm ripping you guys off from really the heart of this whole message here. I'm so excited to get to the end, I tried to skip there. 7 through 9, verses 7 through 9. I knew that didn't sound right. Somebody should have stopped me here. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, okay, 7 through 9. This is the part that will make so much more sense as we go through this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, temporary, but not crushed, eternal. Like, I want you to understand the difference there. We are hard-pressed. Like, yes, in this moment, we are going through hard times. Yes, in this moment, we may have struggled. Yes, we may have got rained on the way in here, and it might be a bad hair day today, right? But that is just today. What is eternal is that we are not crushed. We are not crushed. We are not defeated. Bad days don't mean that we're done. Man, I better keep going here. Perplexed, temporary, but not in despair, eternal. Persecuted, temporary, but not abandoned, eternal. Struck down, temporary, but not destroyed, eternal. What I want you to recognize here again, just once again, is that Paul is, as he's going through this, like he's acknowledging the fact that, yes, he understands life is not easy all the time, right? But the good news of Jesus Christ is that the lack of ease that we have in this moment does not change the principles that God has set for our lives. He has not changed the promises that he has given us. It does not change the fact that he is still with us. It doesn't change the fact that he can rescue us. It doesn't change the fact that he is greater than everything will come against anything that will come against us. Like, it doesn't change. Like, the principles of God, the promises of God do not change just because we are going through a hard time. Rather, those principles of God are everlasting. Everlasting. Those are the things that we ought to be diving into in the rabbit hole, right? That's the rabbit hole we ought to be going down into instead of just going on to the next thing. But here again, here's what I feel like happens sometimes is that we get ourselves into a bad day or into a bad season, right? We have struggle in our lives, and what the enemy tends to do to us is find a way to get us to stay so focused on that our temporary things become the rabbit hole that we fall into. And we just keep clicking on that link over and over. And that link goes to another link that just reminds us of despair, reminds us of persecution, reminds us of depression, reminds us of hopelessness. And one link keeps going to the next link, and we just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into that. And what I just want you to hear today is that is not the desire. That is not the desire of God for your life. God, those things are all just temporary. Those are things that particularly as believers, those are things that we just need to swipe on to the next one there, right? Those are the things that they should only get a second and a half of our lives. But so we can see that there is persecution in our lives, and then we just swipe on to the next thing. We let that go because that is not what defines our life, but it's the principles of God that defines our life. We might find ourselves confused or perplexed, but we just swipe on past that because we will not be in despair. The promises of God say that we don't have to live that way. Do you see what I'm saying there? So many times we fall into the rabbit hole of these things that are temporary, and we assign eternal meaning to things that are actually temporary in our lives. And what we need to do, part of what we have to do as believers, is we have to reorient that which is temporary and that which is eternal. And if it's temporary, we need to let it go. Let it be temporary. Let it move on. And focus ourselves on that which is eternal. Let me show you what I mean by that. If you flip over to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 23. And I might even read the right verses this time. It's going to be amazing. Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 23 and going down through verse 25. It says, "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Like this is what's so amazing. As the author of Hebrews here is talking about the priesthood, now every year there had to be a different priest, and every year the priest had to get to do sacrifices for themselves and that kind of stuff. But now we have a high priest that doesn't need a sacrifice for his cleansing and doesn't need to be replaced the next year, because he is eternal. He is the one that we ought to be so focused on, that we just fall into the rabbit hole that is Jesus, that we fall into the rabbit hole of our word, and we seek more and more of what it is that he is speaking into our lives. He is everlasting. He is able to save. He is able to, and here's, oh Lord, thank you. We have so many things from our past that we think have defined who we are right now. And I need you to understand today that just because you have experienced something does not mean that you are that thing. Help me, Lord. Just because you have experienced something doesn't mean that you are that thing. Because when you say that you are a thing because you experienced the thing, you are attributing eternal meaning to something that happened in a moment. Thank you, Lord. But what I want you to understand was that moment was not there to define the rest of your life. The only moment that happened to define the rest of your life happened at the cross on Calvary when Jesus died for you. Everything else is temporary. Nothing else defines you. It is only your relationship with Jesus that will be eternal. Nothing else. How many times do we hold on to old junk that is designed to be temporary in our lives, and we think that that has to define us from that point on? I just want you to hear today, those things are just designed for you to swipe right on by. And it's not to say that those things haven't impacted your life, and that there wasn't hurt that happened in those things, and there wasn't some struggle in those things. And I'm not denying any of that. All I'm saying is those things are eternal, and we cannot attribute, let me say that again, those things are temporary. Thank you. Those things are temporary, and we cannot attribute eternal meaning to things that are temporary. Amen. We can't. Amen. I better keep going here because I'm way off of where I was supposed to go. Father's love. There we go. So we have this understanding that Jesus is everlasting, that he is our constant, he is our friend, and he's the only thing that is forever, right? Now, what we need to recognize in terms of the fact that Jesus is not just fulfilling the prophecy of being everlasting, but rather that he is fulfilling the prophecy of being the everlasting Father, right? And in that, the idea that's sort of is held strongest in this in the qualities of what it is that a father does is in regard to the love that a father has for his children. I want you to turn with me to Romans. Chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. And these, I'm just going to let you know, these are some of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. And so I may lose my ever-loving mind here in just a moment, but I will try to keep it straight here for you. And because what I want us to recognize here is the connection between the love of the Father and the love of Jesus. Hear this now. So, Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. And it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, again, it's important that you see that there. Because many times when we think of the one who loves us, many times we say, oh, I'm so glad that God loves us. And that's great. Like, yes, God the Father loves you too. But we need to understand that we are also loved by Jesus. Let me keep going. Help me, Lord. Shall trouble, temporary, hardship, temporary, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, all temporary. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Watch this now. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That is the eternal truth, by the way. Now, here, again, watch this now. We are more than conquerors through him, Jesus, who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, watch this now, that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So many times we think of God the Father and we recognize that God the Father loved us enough to send his son to die on a cross that we might be forgiven. Praise the Lord. But we have to recognize as well, according to verse, oh, I just lost that verse. Verse 39 there, we have to recognize that according to verse 39 there, that the love that is in God is also in Christ Jesus. See, when he calls us to himself, he doesn't just do that out of obligation for us. He does that because he loves us. When he calls us to join him in the mission of discipleship, he doesn't do that so that he has less work to do. He does that because he loves us and he wants us to embrace the same mission he was on. Jesus Christ has the love of the Father inside of him. That is how it is that he is the fulfillment of the everlasting Father. He's the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah because he also loves us. Like, the person of Jesus Christ, and I know we can, like, you might be thinking, like, Pastor, like, we get it, like, Jesus and God, like, it's the same, it's okay, you don't have to, you just let the color come out of your face now, it's all right. No, but it's really, really important that we recognize this,
yes, it is.
Because it does change how we see things, right?
Amen.
It changes how we see things, it changes how we relate to Jesus. It changes how we understand what he did on the cross, right? Because when he went to the cross, it was not just out of obligation to the Father, but it was also out of love for us.
Amen.
Which also means that when we follow Jesus, we don't just do it out of obligation to him or out of obligation to the Father, but we do that because of the love that he has for us.
Amen.
And when we engage in the mission of Jesus Christ to be disciples that make disciples, we don't do that just to be able to check that off our list. We don't do that. We don't go about it in a way where we're just trying to transfer information about the Bible to other people who don't have the information about the Bible. No, we do that in the love of Christ.
Amen.
Because if we don't have that environment of love set up there, then we put ourselves in a very dangerous place of believing that discipleship is just is academic. That all I have to do to be able to disciple you is just get you to know some facts about God. Well, the problem with that is that is not how God did things. And that is not how Jesus did things. And that is not how Jesus called his disciples to do things. We have to understand the love of Jesus in our lives, so that we can then convey that on to those who need it as well. And that doesn't just come in information transfer, that comes in doing life together. Let me go ahead and invite the worship team on back up here. I want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I gave you a sneak peek on these verses already, so you know what's coming. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. So again, before it was hard-pressed but not crushed, perplexed, not despair, persecuted, not abandoned. But we get down to verse 16, it says, therefore, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. And church, I want you to hear that. I want you to hear this today, even as if Paul is speaking these words into your life even now. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Our world is in fact changing all around us. But the world changer is forever. He is eternal. Our world will be different tomorrow than it is today. Our world will be noticeably different next year than it is this year. Like our world is constantly changing, and that's not stopping anytime soon. But the world changer is forever, and he is constant. No matter what our world looks like, no matter what hardships might be going on around us, he is forever, and he is with us. See, our world is just swiping past us for the next bit of viral entertainment. But Jesus loves you so much because you are valuable to him. He's not afraid of the rabbit hole of your life. He's not afraid to keep clicking the next link in your life to figure out like all the things that are just that are influencing you, and maybe all the history that has impacted you and all the struggle that you're dealing with. Like, Jesus is not afraid to get into every little bit of your life because he loves you. And he knows that your life is more about what you've experienced in the past. But he's got a hope and a future for you. So how can you fix your eyes on Jesus? How can you fix your eyes on the eternal Father, the everlasting Father, the everlasting love that Jesus has for you? How can you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus in this very temporary world? How can you not only receive the love of Jesus, but give that love to others as well? How can you make sure that you are not making temporary things eternally set in your life? How can you make sure that that which is eternal is guiding you and directing you? I want you to know Jesus has a plan, an eternal plan for your life, a desire for you to spend eternity with him. And the worst thing in the world would be to allow something temporary to keep you from that which is eternal and everlasting. I want you to stand with me now, if you would, as we sing. We're going to sing a couple of songs here. And as we do, I want to encourage you to really think about, like what is it that you have put your value in? What is it that is getting the rabbit holes, and what is it that is going viral in your life? Is it the things that are just temporary? Could be relationships. Could be situations that you're a part of. Are you allowing temporary things to define you eternally, or are you looking to the everlasting Father, to Jesus who loves you, to define who you are? Submit yourself to him today, your time, your future, that he might show himself to be everlasting Father for you. Lord God, we thank you so much for the prophecy of Jesus and for the reality of what he has done and is doing in our lives. Lord, even in this moment, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts and lives, that we would have an awareness of that which we are actually putting value in. Lord, that you would have your way in us, that you would define who we are eternally. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.